I'm very excited. Our main speaker brought a 10-minute speaker tonight, so before I introduce, I just want to let you know, I went to our main speaker and said, can you give me a little bit of something that I could say, you know, to introduce your 10-minute speaker? And there was a look of fear in his eye, and he said, no, I have nothing to say. Talk to my mom. And so without any further ado, Laura, please come on up and give a 10-minute speaker. Thank you, Laura.
I'm Lauren, I'm an alcoholic. And I'm not Matt's mom. I'm his wife. Thank you for inviting me to speak tonight with Matt. And I'm really happy to be here. Welcome to the newcomers. My sobriety date is October 12th, 2000. And I'm freezing. It's freezing cold here. That's okay. A week ago tonight, I was in Florida. I was in Miami visiting my father, who's been ill. He had a seizure, and he was in the hospital, and he got out. And he's better now, and I was really glad that I was sober enough to be able to go visit him and be there for him. So that's one of the miracles of this program. But he's very funny. I don't know if I come, you know, you're not supposed to determine if someone else is an alcoholic. So I don't, you know, I hate to say that he's an alcoholic, but he's a heavy drinker. Mm-hmm. And he's so funny because he called, his doctor told him he couldn't drink anymore because of his medication that he's taking. And so he couldn't stand it. He said, well, I'm just going to, he called his doctor and talked to the nurse and said, could you please ask the doctor if I can just have one beer a night, you know. And his wife, my father's wife, is like, oh, he's such an alcoholic. He had to call the doctor and ask permission to have a beer. And I was like, you know, if he's an alcoholic, he's not calling for permission to have a beer. He's going to have a beer no matter what. So that was funny. But I am really grateful that I am sober today and that I can be a daughter and a good daughter for my father. And he's proud of me, that really just warms my heart that he can call me and I can be there for him. And because when I was drinking, I wasn't there for anyone but myself. And I was a very isolated drinker, and I would drink. I still had a job. I worked at a winery in Paso. And I managed to stay sober during the day, and then I'd come home. Immediately, I remember driving home. I had like a 20-minute drive. And I would just hold on to that steering wheel. I could just feel my hands sweating and holding on to that steering wheel until I could get home and get my first drink, because that's what I lived for, was that first drink. And then I would pass out and start over again the next day, every day. And I worked at a fancy winery, but you know, I didn't drink fancy wine. I drank the cheapest stuff I could get. And one of my biggest fears was running into a coworker, you know, in Rite Aid when I was buying my cheap wine, you know, because you know, I couldn't imagine them knowing that I drank the cheap stuff, you know. And I would walk into Rite Aid, because it was right down the street from where I lived, and I'd walk into Rite Aid and I'd go down every aisle, make sure there's nobody I knew, you know. And then I would just run and get, you know, my bottle of wine or two, and then I would run out as fast as I could so that no one would see me. So it was just crazy, just insanity, you know. What a way to live. And to do that every day was just way too much, a terrible way to live. And I always told myself, I said, Matt, what am I going to talk about? And he goes, you know, just tell your story. And he started telling my story, you know, reminding me of my story. And he's a much better speaker than I am. I said, you should get up here and tell my story. And it's much more interesting when he tells it. But we've been together long enough that we could probably tell each other stories very easily. But anyway, when I... my mother was an alcoholic. I really do believe she was. And she, I used to go to Al-Anon because I thought I could, you know, fix her. Before I became a full-on alcoholic, I was going to fix my mother. So I knew about AA, so that was one good thing. I swore I would never drink like she did, you know. And she would have a drink at 5 p.m., her scotch and water, and she was like a total different person. And I swore I would never do that, because I remember hearing like the glass, the ice fall into the glass, and it would just send chills up my spine, and I didn't want to ever do that to anyone else. And by the time I came to AA, I drank a lot more than she ever did. But thank God I knew where to go. You know, I knew who to call, and I went to my first meeting was in 10th Street in Paso, which no longer exists, but it was quite the meeting place. It was upstairs, and there was this staircase you would take, and every step would make this god-awful noise, and you couldn't really sneak up the steps, you know. And the first meeting I went to, I had moved. I decided that my boyfriend was the reason I was drinking, so I got away from him. And the job was the reason I was drinking, so I found a new job. I had moved to Paso, and I was sitting alone in my house drinking all by myself. And I was like, you know, I can't blame this on anybody else but me at this point. There's just, you know, it's not getting any. I was desperate. So I went to my first meeting, and it was all men. It was dark. It was that 10th Street, if anybody remembers it. It was pretty scary. And I sat there petrified, and I listened to the stories, and I couldn't relate to the whole bar thing because I was an at-home drinker. I would just drink by myself because I was so full of shame, and I didn't want anyone to know what I was like. Mm-hmm. But I could relate to that incomprehensible demoralization that they talked about, you know, that waking up in the morning, seeing that wine glass next to the bed and knowing I did it again, and I swore I wouldn't. I swore that today I was just going to have one drink, and I could never just have one drink. And I would drink a bottle, and, you know, I'd do the whole Rite Aid thing. I'd drink the bottle, and it was never enough, and I'd have to go back down there drunk, drive drunk, and luckily it was only a couple of blocks away, but still I could have easily had an accident, and I never did, but, you know, it was just a yet for me. And so I was just really grateful that someone gave me a big book that night, and I kept coming back. And I went to a meeting where there was more women the next time, and a woman came up to me and said, you know, can I be your sponsor? And I'm really shy, so it's what I needed. I needed someone to come up to me and say, you know, I'll be your sponsor. And so I said, okay, you know. And I was desperate enough to be willing, desperate enough to say yes. And she was just wonderful. She was the complete opposite of me, very outgoing. Candy, do you remember Candy, Mom? And she took me to meetings all over the place and introduced me to, she knew everyone in North County, and she took me, and I started to feel a part of, and she had me start service right away. And I did my steps with right away too. I just couldn't wait. I remember looking up at the steps and going, gosh, I can't wait to do this. You know, I just can't wait. I just wanted so much to have a God or something else in my life besides alcohol. And so I felt a part of right away. Micah was telling me tonight how leading a meeting, how much it meant to him to lead a meeting the other night. And it did that to me too. You know, I was so isolated that to be even amongst all the other drunks, it just was great, you know, to know that there was a solution and that, you know, we were all alike, and it was okay, you know, that we were going to be okay. And so my sponsor also got me involved in H&I very early on, and I went into Atascadero State Hospital for many years. I think I went in for about 10 years, maybe. I was going into ASH, and that was just a huge part of my sobriety. I had something where I had to be there. And, you know, that made me show up because I am kind of, I'll stay home if I have a choice. I'm not going to leave the house, you know. So it's really good for me to have a home group, to have a, you know, places I have to be, meetings I have to go to. I have a sponsor that I need to, you know, speak to, and to remember that I have an obligation to give back what was so freely given to me and to be there for the newcomers also. So my sponsor had me do H&I, and I've been going into ASH, and also now I go into the women's jail, which is really special to me, going into women's jail, and then I go into CMC also now. I just started recently doing that with Matt and Heidi also, and that's been a wonderful experience. And so I know there's all different types of service, and I recommend them for everyone to have whatever works for them. And H&I has really worked for me. And if anyone is ever interested in H&I, we have our meetings on the third Tuesday of every month in San Luis. And you're welcome to join us at 6:30 or 6:45 p.m., so anyone interested in H&I. But AA has just been such a miracle in my life, to go from the isolated person I was to the woman I am today that I can be proud of, and that I feel like I have meaning in my life. I never felt like I had any meaning in my life. It was just a struggle. Every day was just a struggle, and just to make it through till I could get that drink. That's all I lived for. I woke up in the morning, and it was just like, okay, I just got to make it till I can get home and have that drink and then get some relief of my life. And today it's not like that anymore. I really have a lot of good things in my life and great people. And tonight was wonderful. We went out to dinner before the meeting, and it was very special. And I'm just glad to be a part of all of you. And thank you for letting me share.
Fantastic. Okay, moving right along. My favorite member of Alcoholics Anonymous, Kristen, would you do